1. Introduction. Here we are in front of the monument that for centuries has defined our urban landscape, El Fadri. The history of this bell tower began in 1437 when the Council of Castellón decided to build it. That year, the neighbouring Church of Santa Maria was completed on the site of the present co-cathedral. Thus began the long phase of El Fadri's construction. There is no evidence of work until 1459, when it is documented that the construction initiated by master builder Saera came to a halt. 132 years later, construction resumed with the project of the master builder Damià Méndez. Pere Joan Romà and Joan Freix were hired to build the bell tower, but a year later a new tender for the works was announced. Thus, from 1593, work continued under the guidance of Francesc Galeanza de la Lancha and Guillem del Rey until the official year of completion, 1604, although the top of the pavilion wasn't finished until the following year. The construction of El Fadri followed the model of other similar towers, such as the Miguelete in Valencia and those of Buriana and Sant Mateo in the current province of Castellón, all of them examples of octagonal towers with no ornamentation, in line with the architecture of the time. As we can see, from the very start, this was a municipal project and was devised as separate from the neighbouring church, hence the name of Fadri, which in English means single, an adjective with which the local poet Bernat Artola baptised it in the 20th century. The building stands 54 metres high. If we look closely, we can distinguish five sections separated by thin horizontal stone ledges. The two lower sections are solid and higher than the rest, meaning that we will have to climb the largest flight of the spiral staircase to reach the first room. Between the third and fourth sections, there are three rooms: the clock room, the prison, and the bell ringer's house. The fifth section, the final one, is an open room where the bells are housed. Additionally, on the rooftop there is a pavilion with three columns and a tiled roof that protects the clock bell and two other bells that ring out every quarter hour. If we look closely at the inner walls of the tower, we will see some inscriptions in red, a notable one being the date, 1667. This is a public display of support for the House of Austria and against its detractors. At the time, Charles II was still a child and his mother, Mariana of Austria, was the regent. Let us now look at the door. It was sculpted in 1604 by the stonecutter Joan Ganaut, one of the French master builders who also made the eight gargoyles atop the cornice. That same year, Mosen Balthazar Brunel wrote the Latin text above the door that commemorates the end of construction and in which the reigning monarch, Philip III, and various local authorities are mentioned. The sculpture we can see in the niche is a recent addition. On the pediments there are three coats of arms, one of the town on either side and, in the centre, the crowned coat of arms of the Seigneurie Reale. When we access the interior, we will head up the spiral staircase. Thanks to the documentation, we know that this first flight of stairs had to be rebuilt because the council didn't like it. The walls and stairs were constructed at the same time so that each step rests on the previous one from the central axis, whose section is circular. This means that the broadest end of the step was embedded in the wall and fitted into the masonry box that had been prepared in the wall. When a complete turn was made, a loophole was opened to provide light to the staircase. These small vertical windows can be seen aligned above the door. Now let's go upstairs slowly and be careful not to slip and hit your head on the door of the first room. There are exactly 78 steps up to the first room out of a total of 193. The ascent will be worth it as we will get to see the interior of this unique building declared a cultural interest asset, a protected status relating to Spanish historical heritage.